UNI Panther 2024 season about to get underway for Mark Farley and the Panthers. And we bring in Cole Bear, who covers the Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us. Cole, first of all, thanks for helping us out and moving to a Friday edition of the show after everything that went out in Iowa City today. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem at all, guys. How you doing?
Good, good, good. And bigger question is, how are Mark Farley and the Panthers doing? And I'll ask you this, when we've been talking about it, I think a crossroads season for Mark and this UNI football team, especially after the way the season ended, the comments of last year. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it a crossroads season. Mark's got, I think, at least 2 years left on his contract, and with a first-year director of athletics and Megan Franklin at the helm, I think that would take a lot of temerity to move away from Mark if things don't go well for the Panthers this season. And I think you're on track in a sense, because you look at the schedule and it's not hard to go, well, I mean, is there more than five wins on this schedule? You know, you could look at the schedule and go, I could see them maybe only winning three or four games. At the same time, there are some realities somewhat behind the scenes, or the curtain, if you will, that UNI's football program, with the departure of Western Illinois to the Ohio Valley Conference, at last check with public records, UNI, with the Leathernecks no longer around, is spending the least amount of money among Missouri Valley Football Conference teams annually on its program. So I think whether it was David Harris as the AD before or Megan Franklin as the AD now, they certainly understand what they're asking Mark Farley to do and what they're giving him.
Cole, what has Megan Franklin done for the program to quote-unquote make an impact, which is Mark Farley's words, as opposed to the previous administration?
Yeah, a couple examples that Coach Farley gave us was when there was the unfortunate situation, I think it would have been back in late June, that first-year offensive coordinator Luke Falk abruptly resigned and went back home to Utah because of an illness, a serious illness in his family. And by nature of that resignation, I don't think I'm putting any words in Mark Farley's mouth here. I thought he made it pretty clear that previous leadership may have made it a little more difficult for him and his program to turn on a dime like they did and hire a replacement for Luke Falk, and not just any replacement. Luke Falk, of course, I think we may have talked about this around spring ball, came here to install the air raid offense that he played in under Mike Leach at Washington State. Well, Coach Farley was allowed to and given the resources that he needed on a dime to go out and hire Joel Filani, who was at Northern Arizona, a really good JUCO program as a pass game coordinator. Joel Filani played for Mike Leach as a really good wide receiver years ago at Texas Tech. I came away from the way in which Mark spoke about that, that was Megan Franklin's blessing. Here are the resources. Tell me what you need to get not just a coach to replace Luke Falk, but the right coach to replace Luke Falk, given these unfortunate circumstances that have unfolded. Another quick example would be that for the past handful of years, half decade, UNI being a program with the resources it has or doesn't have during preseason camp would eat its meals on the concourse of the Unidome. And the concession staff there played a role in it. A lot of the support staff, volunteer staff on the football program or the football team itself would play a role in getting those meals together for all of those guys. Well, Megan Franklin went to the university and got it back to what it should be, and that's that Mark Farley's football team during preseason camp goes to the dining halls on campus, and they're able to eat there, and that staff is able to facilitate it for them. Like they should. And it wasn't like, it sounds like that was an amicable thing too, not like Megan Franklin alienated anybody on the university side when she did that. And so those were two things Coach Farley pointed out that, you know, may not seem like the biggest thing in the world, but he sure appreciated them.
On the field, new faces coming in, old faces back. Quarterback position, though, that's what everybody looks at. And that's going to be a new situation going into this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Three guys have been competing in preseason camp. A redshirt sophomore, Matthew Shekelman out of Wisconsin, who they got a few years back that they really like. Jackson Daly, who was a really good quarterback at Southeast Polk, went to Arkansas State, and then transferred to UNI this spring or this past winter. And then Aiden Dunn, who was a really good prep at Dubuque Hempstead and is a redshirt junior. So he's a fourth-year guy, and Coach Farley all but named a starting quarterback on Media Day, saying that Aiden Dunn was the front runner at that point. It's my belief Aiden Dunn will be the starter for next Saturday's game against Valparaiso. And, you know, we just have not seen much of Aiden Dunn, given the presence of Theo Day and how he took over 2.5 years ago as UNI's, you know, just unquestioned quarterback, and understandably so. Aiden Dunn, I think, in high school proved that he's got some nice skills and talents. It's a question on how much of that will translate to Missouri Valley Conference football, but I totally understand how he is the front runner. Then again, at the same time, there's just so little to be able to try to analyze about him because of how little football, college football, he's played.
Cole, on your mind, what are the strengths and maybe glaring weaknesses of this 2024 team?
Yeah, strengths are going to be the offensive line, running backs, and wide receivers. And those are pretty good bones to have. A new quarterback's best friend is going to be an offensive line and a good run game that can help him in the play-action pass. So I think that kind of raises the floor a little bit for Aiden Dunn this season, or whomever is playing quarterback. They've got three big running backs in Ty Edwards, Amari Pesek-Hickson, and Harrison Bay-Bui, who at different times last season all looked really good. On the offensive line, they don't just have experience and talent back. They also have some depth. I think they got nine guys that in different years you could consider starting caliber guys. Meanwhile, the weaknesses, they're about as clear as the strengths. The defensive line, they graduated four or five guys last year that made starts on the defensive line. It's going to be a completely new defensive line, just a few guys in there with any meaningful experience and snaps to their name. And the secondary, they were bitten by the transfer portal more than anything in the secondary. And so Mark Farley went out and got back into the transfer portal. I know they got a freshman that they like in the mix as well in that secondary. But, I mean, he didn't make no bones about it. He's got a lot to figure out there. He said he likes the talent of the guys that are there. They got some size for whatever that's worth in the secondary. But no question at all, it looks like a weakness right now. The biggest question marks, the defensive line and that defensive backfield.
Yeah. Cole Barrett joining us, 3:43, Friday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. You mentioned the schedule. Valpo, to start things off, certainly should be a winnable game for you and I at the Dome at 4 o'clock a week from tomorrow. And then three straight D1 teams. And, you know, we're used to you and I with, okay, we had the one D1 game in the past, then it kind of went to two. St. Thomas is a D1 school up in St. Paul. That will be in week number two. This is something, though, not only you and I, but other FCS teams are having to go to help out as far as monetarily the football program. We all know how that plays out, but is this going to be the way it is from now on, three, or is it maybe going to rotate between two and three?
I think it'll probably lean more towards two. St. Thomas, yeah, that's going to be a tough opponent. I think you and I may well, for what it's worth, end up being a favorite in that game. But at the same time, I mean, for anybody who's paying attention, St. Thomas is a really formidable program, and they just their arrow continues to point up. So if you and I can come out of its non-conference schedule 2-2, they would have done a really good job, because it's in your wildest dreams, you can't really picture a win at Nebraska. You know, nobody listening might care to hear it, but it looks like Matt Rhule's got them pointed in the right direction. And then after you cash a check for about $600,000 for going to play the Cornhuskers, the check isn't as great for when you go play Hawaii because they cover the travel and the lodging. So my understanding is that's a $150,000 check that you and I will get for its trip to Hawaii. But that money's so important. I mean, the football program depends on the money they get out of these games, like you were hinting at. Thankfully, I suppose, best case scenario, they have a bye week after the Hawaii trip, you know, 7,000-mile round trip. And then a Missouri Valley Conference schedule begins on October 5th at the Unidome against preseason number one, two-time defending national champ South Dakota State. And there's only one opponent, one opponent, if I'm not mistaken, on that conference schedule that's either not top 25 or receiving votes, and that's the regular season finale against Indiana State. And I've seen a lot of tough UNI schedules. I know you guys have as well. I think this one takes the cake.
Yeah, Cole, piggybacking off that, I'm curious which games are pivotal to get UNI to maybe a five-loss season, knowing that within the, and you kind of talked around it, five of the six games, there's a stretch there, six games, five of them are on the road, plus the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I look at they're going to have to win a couple of road games in the Missouri Valley Football Conference against these preseason top 25 opponents. So I would circle the October 12th game at preseason number five, South Dakota. They've played well in the Dakota Dome before against the Coyotes. They're plenty capable of doing it again. There's enough parity in the Missouri Valley that I would say don't get too wrapped up, with no disrespect to South Dakota, into the preseason ranking. It's not out of the question you and I could win that game. They'll have their work cut out for them. And then the other two games I would have circled in terms of having to win a couple of these ranked Valley road games would be the following week. They go to North Dakota. North Dakota is ranked number 24 preseason. And then Youngstown State later on in the season, second to last game of the regular season, Youngstown State ranked number 25. They're going to make the big trip out east to Ohio. I look at those three games, and I think given the strength of everything else on the schedule, you're probably going to have to win two of those three.
Yeah, I don't think you're going out on a limb there. And given the schedule, I mean, the committee, even with what, a six and with five losses, taking a look at the strength of schedule for UNI, I mean, I know Mark Farley's been on the wrong side of that in the past several years, but boy, that would be saying a lot to go through this with only five losses. Four, they're in for sure, I think.
Well, I think they could get in if they win the right games and the games that they lose aren't too ugly. I think they could get in at 6-6. They've gotten in before with six wins. If they're beating multiple ranked conference opponents and what's consistently, unquestionably, the toughest conference in FCS football, it's not too difficult to put a 6-6 resume together this season that's going to look pretty good. So that may be the magic number this year, but then again, there's probably a version of 6-6 that doesn't work at the same time. So 7-5, there's no way they can keep them out. 6-6, a lot of years, some years they play only 11 games. This is a 12 game regular season. Sometimes 6-5 doesn't get it done. I think six wins could this year.
We haven't talked about the opener, Valparaiso. What do you expect out of that game?
I expect them to win, to find a way to get that job done, however pretty or not so pretty it may be. And I'll go back to what we talked about earlier with the strengths of this team. When you're taking on a roster like Valpo, who's playing non-scholarship football in the Pioneer League, lean on your bread and butter if you're UNI. You've developed this offensive line, this depth, this talent. It was developed so well that Matt Campbell over in Ames with Iowa State hired your offensive line coach, Ryan Clanton, away. And they're still enjoying a lot of the hard work that Ryan Clanton put in to recruit these guys to Cedar Falls. So lean on that offensive line. Your guys are going to be bigger. They're going to be stronger. Your running backs are certainly bigger. You and I's got some of the big, got the biggest maybe trio of running backs in FCS football. If the air raid doesn't have a dazzling debut, then as Coach Farley has joked, calling it air raid adjacent or air raid inverted, just pivot to that and wear Valpo out the best you can. And if it's a 24-14 win, so be it. Take it and move on.
Well, Mark Farley likes a challenge, and he likes he has never backed down from a challenge. So I think he's relishing this year going in.
Yeah, I think so too. His energy is as good as ever, guys. I mean, it's his 24th season, but you really wouldn't know it. Not only is, you know, when he's talking football, is he great, but he's maybe never been better when it comes to the Panther Caravan event in the spring, promoting the new athletic director, Megan Franklin, genuine enthusiasm about her and about the direction of the department. Of course, the renovation that continues to go on with the Unidome. Mark Farley hasn't lost a step whatsoever. Of course, he's challenged by what we talked about before with the resources available to his program, but it seems like, to what degree, don't know for sure, but things are pointed in a positive direction up here in Cedar Falls for UNI football.
Awesome. Good to see. Keep up the great work, Cole. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And we'll look forward to talking UNI Panther Athletics with you again.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
You bet. Cole Bear joining us here on a Friday edition of the Gym Class.